peace on earth. It's a nice thought. No more wars or genocides. No bullets or bombs or biological weapons. Just nations living in harmony, celebrating differences, overlooking offenses, playing soccer instead of exchanging gunfire. Heck, we'd even settle for peace in America. No red states and blue states, no government shutdowns, no war of words between Fox News and CNN. Just everyone wearing t-shirts saying, truce, and hats that say, make America one again. But we all know that the world is not at peace. We feel what Longfellow felt when he heard those Christmas bells ringing while the Civil War was raging. That tension between that angelic announcement of peace on earth and the obvious reality that we're not there yet. And it can undermine our faith, because isn't that what Christmas is all about? It is. The birth of Jesus was supposed to be the beginning of the end of conflict and combat. That's what God's prophets had predicted way back in 700 BC, after Israel had its own civil war and had been swallowed up by a foreign superpower. A prophet by the name of Isaiah said, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. The prophet Micah even predicted where this Prince of Peace would be born, in the little town of Bethlehem. And Micah added, he will be our peace. Now you have to understand, what that meant to them was that the Prince of Peace would be so powerful politically and militarily, that no other nation would dare oppose him. He would impose peace through strength. That was the hope of Israel, and they waited for it. And waited and waited for 700 years. And then, finally, an angel visited a virgin, a teenager by the name of Mary, in the tiny backwater town of Nazareth. And he said to her, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. And sure enough, she got pregnant. And before her fiancé, Joseph, could go ballistic, an angel visited him and told him that it was the Spirit of God who enabled Mary to conceive miraculously, and that she would bear a son, and that his name would be Jesus, which means the Lord saves. And that would be his name, the angel said, because he will save his people from their sins, not from their enemies, but from their sins. So Joseph and Mary got married quickly. And 9 months later, when Mary was, as they say, great with child, there was an order that was sent out by the Caesar, by the leader of the Roman Empire, of which Israel was now a part, where everyone had to go to the town of their ancestry to take part in a census. And there were no exceptions, no maternity leave. And so Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem, because that was the town of Joseph's ancestor, King David. It was where he was born. And no sooner had they arrived there than Mary said, between contractions, it's time. And they tried to get a room at the only hotel in town, but there was a no vacancy sign there. And so they had to settle for a stable. It was there on that straw-covered dirt floor of that animal shelter that Mary delivered a boy whom they named Jesus. And they wrapped him in whatever scraps of cloth they could find. And they placed him in a manger, a feeding trough. That scene of that newborn baby boy being watched over by that young couple in that little barn has become, for so many people, a scene of holy tranquility. Like the eye in the storm of life. The inn was packed with noisy guests. The streets were filled with anxious travelers. Cities all over Israel were bursting at the seams. The nation was chafing under the thumb of the Roman government. But there, in that stable, is a scene that somehow lowers our blood pressure and makes us want to softly sing, "Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm. All is bright round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace." But that moment of stillness is interrupted by the dramatic appearance of another angel, this time to sheepherders in these fields that were outside of the town of Bethlehem. And he appears and they freak out and he says to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then there were countless angels in the sky, and they were all singing and shouting, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests." There's that word again, peace. What kind of peace? Well, if that baby in that manger is really the Christ, the King, then it must be what the prophets promised: international peace. This baby will grow to be the powerful Prince of Peace who puts an end to warfare once and for all. Pretty soon there's a crowd around the stable, local shepherds wanting to catch a glimpse of Israel's promised king, and then later wise men traveling on camelback from distant lands to worship the little boy who would one day be the king of the world. It seemed as if peace on earth was right around the corner. But I wonder, were those who surrounded baby Jesus that night enamored with the prospect of peace on earth? Or was there real need for something more personal? Like, you know, peace in their hearts. I mean, what good is world peace to someone like Mary, a teenaged mother in an unforgiving society? At that moment, her whole world consisted of 10 fingers and 10 toes. It could be weighed in pounds and ounces. And she must have wondered, is he going to be okay? Am I going to be what he needs? And how many other young mothers were there in the world that night thinking similar thoughts, facing identical fears? How many teenagers were there who would give anything to experience the peace of knowing that everything was going to be okay, even though their future was so uncertain? And Joseph, he was thinking about the welfare of Israel that night, or the welfare of his family. This wasn't a wealthy man. Joseph was just a blue-collar guy who prayed literally for his daily bread, and now he had a family to feed. Did he worry about being able to provide for them? And how many other young men were there in the world that night, anxious about their future, who would have settled for peace of mind? And I wonder about those shepherds. Might one of them have been a middle-aged guy with broken dreams? He'd worked hard to climb the ladder of success, but something happened that cost him his career, a mistake, a betrayal, an indiscretion. And now he was working the graveyard shift for minimum wage. Maybe one of the other guys was living alone after his wife left him. Maybe one of them had a prodigal son or daughter. There they were, this collection of guys with tough exteriors but wounded hearts, staring up at the stars night after night and wondering how it all went wrong. The kind of peace that they needed was the kind that would reassure them that God had not abandoned them, that he was with them, and that they had a future and a hope. And who knows what the backstory was of the wise men? Maybe one of those guys had just lost his wife that year. They'd been married for 50 years, and now he was alone. Maybe one of them had cancer. Took all the strength he had to make that trek to Israel. Maybe one was constantly terrified of death. Who knows what personal battles those men were fighting and how hungry they were for the peace that passes all understanding. You know, I can't help but wonder how many people sitting in this room are longing for peace on this Christmas Eve. And maybe there's some of you that say, yeah, I want international peace. Or maybe it's some kind of interpersonal reconciliation with a friend or a family member. But I'll bet what you need, what you want, what you long for more than anything else is just that feeling, that feeling of tranquility that comes when you know that God is with you. That he's in control of that situation that has caused so much anxiety and fear in your life. What you wouldn't give for the kind of peace you felt the last time you held a newborn baby in your arms. Well, what nobody knew that night in Bethlehem was that Jesus came to give us not trickle-down peace that begins globally and hopefully at some point touches us personally, but rather peace that begins inside of us and grows like a mustard seed until it takes over the whole world. I don't think anybody understood that when Jesus was alive. I mean, everybody had it backwards. In fact, one big reason why they nailed him to a cross is because he failed to meet their political and military expectations. They concurred that he did not deliver on the promise to create peace on earth. Some prince of peace he turned out to be. And yet, on the night before he died, you know what he said to his closest friends? He said, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Oh, what a gift that kind of peace would be. How do we get it? We get it by believing in Jesus for who he was and what he did, rather than rejecting him for failing to meet our expectations. Remember what the angel said to Joseph? He will save his people from their sins. How did he do that? He did it by dying for us. 33 years after he was born. See, when Jesus was on that cross, God the Father punished him for everything you and I have ever done wrong. And the prophet Isaiah predicted that too. 700 years before Jesus was born, he said, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed." When we believe in Jesus, not only is every mistake that we've ever made forgotten by God, but also his Spirit comes to live inside of us. And the fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says, is love, joy, and peace. That internal confidence and tranquility and rest that comes from knowing that God is with us and that he will never leave us. And he's got this, whatever this is. I know many people who have made that choice to believe in Jesus. And I'll tell you this, most of them have the exact same challenges that other people do. What's different about them is that they exude a peace that makes their quality of life better than those in similar circumstances. I have watched God fulfill his promise to create peace on earth. One person at a time. It begins inside of us. And then it grows from there into our relationships, into our attitude toward those who have different political convictions than we do, and ultimately even into international affairs. Peace on earth and goodwill among mankind is happening right now. Sometimes it breaks out on a battlefield. Sometimes it comes through a telephone call or an email. Sometimes it happens around a Christmas dinner table. It's a mustard seed that was planted on Christmas Day and will reach full maturity on the day that Jesus returns to this earth to reign as king. So now is the time to receive from God the free gift of peace with him. How do we do it? Just by welcoming Jesus into our hearts. Have you done that before? Have you ever made a decision before to trust Jesus with your life, to believe that that baby that was born in that stable grew to be a man who died for you and rose from the dead? If you've never done that before, you can receive him and the peace that comes with him right now. Bow your heads with me. And let me just give each of us an opportunity to respond personally to Jesus. If you've never before received the gift of his salvation, of his forgiveness, and the fresh start that he offers, just tell him that you believe in him. Tell him that you believe that he lived and died for you and that he rose from the dead. Ask him to come into your life and give you that fresh start he promised. Jesus, today we worship you as our wonderful counselor, as our mighty God, as our everlasting Father, and as our Prince of Peace. Thank you so much that you came down here to clean up the mess we made and to restore us and our world to its original condition. Let there be peace on earth, and let it start in us. Amen.